Thank you, Roger. And I would appreciate your prayers this morning. It is good to be here. And your smiles, you can smile too. There. I am thankful for the opportunity to stand before you and profess the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, Roger mentioned that the last couple weeks I've been on a Navajo reservation with Brother Hubert Yates. And I've got a message, first of all, to all of you that donated warm clothing and that for those people. They were very well appreciated. They really needed them. And they're going to have a tough winter. There's a lot of snow up there already, and it's cold. Our water pipes all froze up, and we just got out of Flagstaff Friday night, and they were shutting down the roads, and they had already had a lot of snow up there, so it's appreciated. But you know, I was thankful that here in these last days that the Lord has seen fit to preserve our records for us that we might have guidance and direction in our life. And that we could go to places such as the Navajo Reservation and the Navajo Nation and proclaim to them the gospel. You know, we had the opportunity on three different nights to meet at a home of a brother and sister there that have five children. And he's a traditionalist. He's turned his back, I guess is the word, from Christianity, as he knows it, and believes in the traditions, or did believe in the traditions of the Navajo. But as we were sitting there in his living room, and they had a Christmas tree out and some gifts and that, and his wife had a Christian background, at least a little bit. And you pointed to the star on the top of the tree. You said, "Do you know what that's for?" And there was a long pause, and finally the woman of the home said, "Well, that's the star. That's Christ." And Yub said, "Yes, and there's a record here." And he had the Bible and the Book of Mormon. He said, "There's a record that talks about that light under the world, that there would be a new star that would arise, and that they're in the traditions of the Navajos, and they're in our traditions." And he went on and was able to explain to them that although this Alvin, who believes is a traditionalist, he went on to explain to them that these are the true traditions of his people. And God saw fit to have men write them down, that in these the last days, we didn't have to guess what it was that the Lord desired of us and what the promises were for us and the things he had in store for us, because they were written by holy men of days of old and came forth in these days that we'd have guidance and direction. Whereas the traditions that came down by word of mouth were changed and altered, and many of them lost and unrecognizable. But the blessing is that we have these things preserved to us. And I am mindful of where it says in the 8th chapter of Isaiah, it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." But we're children of the light, as the scriptures say. We have the gospel We have the light of Christ available to us, and it's our responsibility to do something with it. We don't have to wander and be lost and wonder about things. We can search the Scriptures for guidance and direction in our lives. You know, the season that we're in, this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of Christ. It's a wonderful season. That light that's to us. And I'm going to read some scriptures this morning in regards to the birth of Christ. And I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit, but not too much. But in Isaiah it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. You know, we celebrate Christmas normally by giving of gifts one to another. And as we do so, we should be mindful not of the gifts and that, but of the thought. And the reason that we do that is the gift that has been given to us, Jesus Christ. His Father sent him down here to dwell among us, and that he willingly came down and died for us, that we might have eternal life, that we might be able to stand once again before our Heavenly Father and be judged according to the works and the things that we have accomplished in this life, that he willingly gave his life for us. That perfect gift, that perfect sacrifice. So I hope and pray that we remember that, and that we not only give the gifts at Christmas, as that seems to be our custom, but that we give the ultimate gift of our life and our love one to another, to each other, to our fellow being around us. In Luke, and I'm going to start here in the first chapter. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a decoration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemeth good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all the things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theopolis, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things, wherein thou hast been instructed." You know, here we have a prophet, a holy man, is stating that, you know, even though we have these things before us and these decorations that we believe at this time, he saw fit to write them down for us, for this day, that we might read them and understand them and have them, having a perfect understanding, as it says here. And he goes on to tell the story that they had known amongst them, but was being recorded for us. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and as disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, and he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away, and hath hope in his servants Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth full time came, and she could be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, for he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosened, and he spake, and praised God. You know, there's a beautiful story there, and I know that we've all heard those and read that before, but it's always good to read it. But there is, the Lord has promised us, there were several witnesses to all things. There was a witness given to Zacharias and his wife. There was a witness given to Mary of the things that were to be accomplished and why. And we can expect those things and have them in these, the last days also, several witnesses of all things, of the beautiful plan of salvation that the Lord has laid before us. And I'm gonna read some more here in Luke of the story. And I'm gonna skip over to the second chapter. It said, It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. It all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the circumcision of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, and daughter of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 80 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Again, we read that scripture at this time of the year normally, because it's a beautiful story. It's a story that we all rejoice in. It's a story that we all delight in the reading, because there's a great promise here. It's a story that's confirmed to us by the scriptures, that there's several witnesses once again here that tells of the coming forth of Christ, the Son of God, to be the light of this world. And you know, we're fortunate in the restoration to have another record that is teaching us the exact same thing and foretells to us the same story. And there was a prophet of old, a Lamanite called Samuel, that was sent by the Lord to the Nephites and to prophesy unto them of this very thing that we read about in the Bible. That, you know, we have the story there of Jerusalem and what was happening there, but here thousands of miles away to the people that were here. They were also It was also confirmed to them of the coming forth of the Son of God. And he prophesied and told them of a sign that would be coming in 5 years. That there would be no darkness. That at the end of the day, the sun would go down, but there would still be light. That a new star would arise. This Christ. And it foretold of his birth. And the fact that he was coming forth. And he went and he prophesied also of a time that was to come in the future after that. When our Lord and Savior would be crucified and resurrected and told of the things that would be happening on this continent at that time. And the turmoil and tempest and the earthquakes and that would be accomplished. I'm going to skip to right up to that time. And the time that Christ came here among the children of men on this continent. And I've gone to the third book of Nephi in the fourth chapter. O all ye that are spared, because in the 41st verse, excuse me. O all ye that are spared because ye were more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted that I may heal you? And he's talking about those that were more righteous than the other people, the other ones here that had to, and they lived through this time of turmoil and great destruction that was upon this land. And where the valleys were made mountains and the mountains valleys and cities were swallowed up and the whole face of the land was changed. And you know, you can't drive across this great country of ours without seeing those very scriptures fulfilled. And my favorite story or thought is you drive out in Colorado and you go out I-70 and you see the mountains and you see where the rocks are and you can tell that they had been, you know, layers of sediment and everything, and all of a sudden you see one going up like this, and the layers are vertical. And you know what it is that they're talking about, and the time that was at hand was the time when our Lord and Savior was crucified. And yea, verily I say unto you, if you will come unto me, you shall have eternal life. There's Christ. Behold, my arm of mercy extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive. And blessed are they which come unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I, as to many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light in the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And you shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and come unto me as a little child, him will I receive. For of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore repent and come unto me, yea, come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Again, beautiful, beautiful words of our Lord and Savior. That light, that new star, the Prince of Peace, the fact that he came and died for us, and that he calls each of us to come forth with what? A broken heart and a contrite spirit, with a desire to serve him all the days of our life. This risen Christ, our Savior. To ask him for guidance and direction. To yield to the Holy Spirit. To give ourselves in all our activities to our Heavenly Father. That we put him before all things in our life. That we set aside the things of the world and the temptations and the possessions and whatever it might be, and come to the realization that there is nothing that we have that hasn't been a gift from God. There is nothing that we own. There is nothing that we have accomplished. There is nothing that we possess that hasn't been given to us by our Heavenly Father, who gave to us a perfect gift, his Son, who gave to us a perfect gift, his life, that he broke the bands of death, that we might be able to come back into the presence of our Lord and Savior. Further on in the Book of Mormon here, page 681, 14th chapter of the third book of Nephi, it says, "Hearken, all ye Gentiles," and that's us. Here's one of the ancient holy men talking to us in a time of Christ as he dwelled here. You know, the footnote in the bottom of the Book of Mormon says it was somewhere AD 34 to 36, 2,000 years ago, just about. "Hearken, all ye Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you. For behold, he commandeth me that I should write, saying, Turn, all ye Gentiles, from your wicked ways, and repent of your evil doings, of your lyings and deceivings, and of your whoredoms, and of your secret abominations, and your idolatries, and your murders, and your priestcrafts, and your envyings, and your strifes, and from all your wickedness and abominations. And what does he say? He says, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that you may receive a remission of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that you may be numbered with my people, which are of the house of Israel. Tells us here to first to hearken, pay attention. And it tells us to hear the words of Jesus Christ, and not only listen to them, but to put them to practice in our lives. And to turn, it says, turn all you Gentiles from your wicked ways. Turn from the things that abound around us in this world, and the worldly things. And repent of our evil doings, and come unto him. And be baptized if we haven't been. But come on to him and follow after the example that he set for us. Live our lives according to the things that he witnessed to us as an example when he dwelt here among men. And allow ourselves to be filled with that Holy Ghost. You know, there's a blessing that comes to the members of the Church of Christ through the laying on of hands and a reception of the Holy Ghost. That gift from God to us, that we might have that in our lives to give us guidance and direction. That we might have it available to us to what? To call on it. To bless us with discernment and understanding and wisdom in our life and our dealings with our Heavenly Father. But it doesn't do any good if we don't call on it. We have to yield. We have to have a desire in our heart to be led. And then it says, if we will do that, we will be numbered with his people and nourished and fed and strengthened. That we might be able to endure to the end our task here. But we can't accomplish that without Jesus Christ. We can't accomplish that without yielding to him, without asking for his guidance and direction. And we can't accomplish that unless we are committed to change our lives and to dedicate them to our Heavenly Father. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about, you know, this the last days, and it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when there shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, and that goes with what I'm trying to say here, in that we know. We have had that light given to us. We have the restored gospel available to us. We have before us, you know, the scriptures that have been preserved for us in these days. We are what it's talking about here. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Then it goes on and says, therefore, let us not sleep. Let us not be slothful. Let us not catch us unawares, because we know. We know and believe. We know and believe and have a desire to serve the Lord. And there is a need for us. There's a need for us when we're thinking here at this season that we're in, rejoicing in the fact of the birth of our Lord and Savior. there's a need for us to realize that we have a responsibility. We who proclaim to be the followers of Christ have a responsibility. And that is to live our lives as the example that He gave us in His life. To love one another. To prefer one another. You know, He tells us that the great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto the first, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And goes on to say that, you know, upon these two are all the commandments, I guess. I don't have kind of quoted this exactly right. But I'd like us to think at this time that we're in that not only do we enjoy the season that we're in, but that we make a commitment to ourselves and to our Heavenly Father to, you know, when we kind of get through the Christmas season and the new year and we go, you know, we all feel that way, right? You know, it gets a little hectic. But that we remember the occasion. And that we take the good feelings and the good spirits that's among us at Christmas time and that we project it throughout the year and that we are committed to do that. That the thing that you take with you today is a commitment to show God's love in your life. And to ask the Lord to help you and guide you and direct you in that endeavor. Because He's promised us that He would. In 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, and you know where I'm turning. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, the love of God, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If we don't have that love of God in our life, all we're up here is doing is make a lot of crazy sounds and noise for naught. Anything that we try to accomplish doesn't make any sense and is a bunch of noise. We might as well be whistling in the wind. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You know, although we might understand the scriptures, although we might have a gift of prophecy and all these other things, if we don't have the love of God in our lives, we're nothing. We've accomplished nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done is done away. Book of Mormon, that added witness to Jesus Christ, tells us the same things. In the 7th chapter of Moroni, you know, it's almost the same words. But it goes on in the 52nd verse of the 7th chapter and it says, wherefore cleave unto charity. You know, it's not saying there, you know, it'd be nice to, if that was around and you know, you're doing this. Cleave onto it. I mean, can you grasp that word of just hanging on to it and not letting it go? Cleave and desire it. Make it a part of your life. Pray about it. Cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, that's us as they're talking to you here. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. So I hope and pray that as we go through this beautiful Christmas season, rejoicing in the gift from our Heavenly Father of His Son, the birth of His Son, and we reflect in our minds and in our prayers the promises that are given, and the fact that Christ died for us and gave His life, but that we'll also leave this season with a desire and a hope and a commitment and a prayerful, earnest effort to cleave unto this thing called charity, the love of God. It abounds in our life. That through it we let our light shine, that light of Christ, that others might see it in our life. And they might have a desire. And they might come unto the Lord, that their souls might be saved. But it's not going to happen unless we're all, you know, each of us is committed to do that. That we take those thoughts home with us this day. That this evening we make it a matter of prayer. And each day we make it a matter of prayer that we might possess that thing, that love, that we might shed off from our own selves, our own thoughts, our own ways, the carnal man, that we might be able to shed them as a jacket and throw them aside and take on that love of God and of Christ. But it just doesn't come easy all the time. And we gotta keep on plugging away at it. And we have to ask for it as it's talked about in here. You know, the promise has been given that those that possess it at the last day, it will be well with them. And I know and believe that that's the desire of each of us in our hearts, that as we stand before the judgment bar of our Heavenly Father, that it is found well with us. That we've done those things accordingly as he desires. And that we are able to have eternal life with our Heavenly Father. So I hope and pray that as we think of the Christmas season, and the gift there of God, we make a commitment. That we look forward to this new year that we have and the new opportunities that we have. Because, you know, we can start it today. What we've accomplished in the past, nothing. Today, as we look forward, and that we earnestly strive, each of us, to have that thing, that love, that, you know, that we have patience, that we're concerned about one another, we're concerned about each other's feelings, You know, that we have that love and that desire to help and to console and to make it a matter of prayer of each of our welfares, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. That we make it, you know, a commitment and strong in our lives. And the Lord God has promised. And it's witnessed to us in the scriptures. He promised us that the blessings, the windows of heaven will be open, and He will pour out blessings upon us, and it will be well with us as we stand before our Heavenly Father. Thank you.
Thank you. The social committee would like your cooperation in letting our older members go first in our dinner line today. And they're also asking that all children go through the line with their parents. As I said earlier, we'll begin dinner about 12:30, which will be about 20 minutes after we let out here, to allow our brothers and sisters from East Local to come. We'll close with the use of hymn number 39, after which we'll be led in a closing prayer by our brother Glenn Gill, and I'm also going to ask him to bless the food also. Number 39.